a doer of God's word. Amen? Amen. Not just a hearer or a preacher, but a doer. And when I started out in the ministry, just a teenage boy, I told God that I wanted to be a doer. I wanted to get something done for him. But I just didn't want to spend time doing it, but that I wanted to be a doer of God's word. And God has given me, you know, if you volunteer for the Lord, he'll put you to work. Man, he'll work you to death, amen? And that's good, amen? And I also read in the Bible where Jesus made of himself no reputation. So I've not all these years been clowning around trying to find somebody to brag on myself or brag on me to get a reputation. I just want to do the work, amen? All right, this morning I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Matthew, the last chapter. While you're turning there, I think I'll give you a report on our work that we've been doing. God has given us, I think, probably the busiest and the most productive year that we've ever had. And this is my 64th year in the ministry. Isn't that something? Here, I'm getting old, and God gives us probably the most productive year we've ever had. I would assume that we had 10,000 people walk the aisle to get saved this year. Can you imagine that great number? We had a harvest like you cannot believe. And a lot of that was mass evangelism, where we had great crowds that we preached to, some of which had never been heard the gospel before. And it was a thrill this year to see God work in our lives. And so far as soul winning is concerned, this has been one of the best years we've ever had. We had one time we were over in Asia for a whole year, and we had 7,500 people come to get saved. But this year has topped that. And so we're so thankful for it. We kind of started out by going to the Bahamas. We have a church over there, Victory Baptist Church in Nassau. And we had a great meeting. I didn't tell my wife this, but I called the pastor the other day on the phone, and things were really going well for him, and the church is just doing great. And God's blessed that preacher with a business. He's a businessman as well as a preacher, and he does very well in the business, and so he's been able to help a lot of his people get in business and all of that, and the church is a very successful church. And so we had a good harvest there of souls. And then we came back to Florida, and we were in Florida for a while, some meetings. Then we went to Dubai. Now, Dubai is a city in the United Arab Emirates, a small country. And we went there, and I preached there in a church, and then we made contacts while we were there. We're starting a new church in Pakistan. And so we've been involved in actually starting two churches in Pakistan. And God gave us a bunch of money for it. So we're able to raise enough money to buy a good piece of property for the church in Pakistan. And then we're able to get promises enough to build him a building. And now that's a very dangerous place. I wish I could give you his name, but we just don't give any names out in some of those areas of the world where there's so much persecution. I don't even ever say his name, even on the internet or to anybody. I just don't use his name, because all his enemies, the enemies of the gospel, would have to do is take a page out of the Quran and wad it up and throw it in his backyard and then go get the police and show him that, and they would arrest him immediately and put him in jail. And he'd be in jail for a while, and if he got out, if they did it again, he'd be in jail for years. And then if they did it the third time, they'd chop his head off. Now, that's the kind of persecution some people go through. And I wish that you'd remember our pastors in Pakistan. We're helping two right now. And we just hope that you pray for them. They're persecuted people, you know. And it's a country full of terrorists and extreme Muslims. And so, we have all these freedoms in America. And it's hard for us to comprehend what it would be like if we had to go to church in a hidden place, coming one or two at a time instead of all coming at once, and being afraid that any moment somebody could open up the back door with a machine gun and kill everybody. And that's a kind of some persecution and some of the hardships that some of these people go through in order to give the gospel out in their community, in their country. And I've preached in churches like that. I was in Vietnam preaching. And by the way, any of you that fought in Vietnam, I'd just like to say that we appreciate your sacrifice, and that what we're able to do there right now partially is because of what you did, or what your kids did, or whoever you know that went there. I know that was a terrible tragedy. 50,000 American boys died in that country. And it was a political debacle. But today we have preacher. We have five churches in what now is called Ho Chi Minh City, which was Saigon. We have five good gospel preaching churches there. They're all what you call underground. And again, I don't use anybody's name or where they're located. But And we have a contact with another ministry there that has about 10 other churches scattered around over the country. So that's a good labor that we've been involved in. But anyhow, we hope that you'd pray for Dubai now. We have a group of people waiting for us to come. I may go in November if I can this week work out the details and go over and see if we can't group them together and get them started as a mission, and hopefully be able to organize them later on as a church. So I hope that you pray for that. That's in Dubai. And Dubai is an unusual city. It's as clean as any town that we've ever been in. Dubai and Singapore are beautiful cities, clean as a pin. If you are caught in Singapore with a stick of gum in your pocket, it's a $1,000 fine right there on the spot. You're not allowed to have any chewing gum in Singapore. None. If they catch you throwing down something on the street, it's even more of a fine, and you've got to pay it right then or go to jail. And that's way it is also in Dubai. It's a very clean city. It's a Muslim city. It's one of the, they're oil rich. But they're not only just in oil now. They're in all kind of investments, because I think they can see that oil is probably going to be so competitive in the future. I just heard that that Nigeria is going to start exporting oil in a big way here real soon. And the price of our gasoline, the price of the airplane tickets haven't gone down, but it should, because there's a glut of oil. And anyhow, we went from the States to Bahamas, and then back to the States, and then we went to Dubai. And from Dubai, we went to the Philippines, and we had a harvest of souls there. We've got, I preached to 8,000 people one morning, and then went over to another church and preached for 5,000 that night. Now, the 5,000 church, we started in one of my tents. One of my old gospel preaching tents, I shipped it over there. And they didn't know. I told them exactly the fact of the matter is we set it up and the wind blew it down. So they took the pieces of it and put it in the trees and started church in it. Can you imagine that? The pastor said, "Oh, Brother Clayton, we got your tent up Filipino style." And I said, "It looks like Filipino style." We used it and got a church started. And that now is a big metropolitan church, sending out missionaries. They're starting churches. They just bought land for a big youth camp. They got them a Bible college in that church. And then one of our other churches that we started in a broom closet. This preacher went in to get him a room in an apartment building to stay in. That would be Filipino apartment building, which would have no facilities in the room. He went to get a room, and the woman who was in charge said, "I don't have a room to rent you." He said, "Yeah, there's one right there." "Oh," she said, "that's a broom closet." He said, "Let me and my wife move in that." "Oh," she said, that little broom closet?" He said, "Yes, if you don't let us move in that, we're going to have to sleep in the streets with the rats, my children." And she said, "Oh, okay, but, she said, "I'm not going to charge you any money for rent." She said, "What I'm going to do," or no, she said, "I'm going to charge you money for rent of that, but I'm going to take the money you give me, and I'm going to go out and buy food for your children with that money," because she said, "I know you preachers. You won't be feeding your family like you should." And so that's what happened. And so we went to her and said, "I want to start a church here." She said, "Where?" He said, "In the broom closet." "Oh," he said, "you can't do that. There will be but two or three people." He said, "I'll start it there, but I want to use the vestibule too." It's a great big vestibule, bigger than yours out here. So he got in there and he started preaching in the vestibule and putting kids up and down the stairs. And, it was a multi-story. And he had Sunday school classes. The people, they start singing little children's songs, and wake everybody up and the whole thing on Sunday morning. And everybody would have to come to church, And then he got where he was putting people out on the sidewalk. And God gave us some money to buy some land for him. I went over and preached, and I preached to 375 people. And we had a whole bunch of people saved. And I said, "We've got to have land." I said, "I don't have much land or money, but I said, I do have $1,500 I'll give you." Now, that was more than value than it is now, and especially over there. And I said, "You go buy land with this." He said, "Okay." So he bought a piece of land that was right straight up a hill. Solid rock. And I thought, "Good night, you can't build a church." He got his men together, went out there with a sledgehammer and a piece of pipe, and he beat him out a flat spot to put a church on. Then God gave us almost $5,000 to build the building. We got the building and the roof up, but no windows and doors. And he wrote me a letter, said, "Brother Clayton, we got the building up, but no windows and doors. When it rains, all of us get baptized." So I raised up money for windows and doors. And then later on, God gave us another bunch of money. We bought another piece of property. And that second one cost us a bunch of money, I'll tell you. But a lot more than the first one. And then he's built a church there. I have a picture of it if you want to see it afterwards. And probably about 1,000 people in that auditorium. Now he's built on and built on, and he's got him a Bible college. The storm came along and blew away his buildings. And God gave us enough money to build good buildings this time out of concrete block instead of bamboo. And that the church is just doing great. And they're sending out missionaries now all over the world. I just got a letter from one of the young men that was trained in that Bible college. I've always supported the Bible college. And he was trained in that Bible college, and he wrote me a letter and said, "Thank you, Brother Clayton, for my Bible college education." He said, "I'm getting ready to go to Liberia as a missionary, Liberia, Africa." Isn't that something? You see, what we do, what we've done, what I call investing and building up God's money and work repeatedly. We're able to take some money and build a church, the original church, initial church, I should say, and then out of that, we're able to get a people to going that will sacrifice and tithe and give, and then we're able out of that to start other churches that start other churches, and all of them together sends out missionaries. So this young man going to Liberia now is going to be completely supported by the churches that we started in the Philippines many years ago. Now, you know, that's recycling God's money repeatedly. That's what I like to do. I like to recycle it. So whatever you have given us to do, to use for the Lord financially, we're able to duplicate that repeatedly by the work that we do, because we teach them to do what you do. Sacrifice and give so that the ministry can go on. And I tell them now, you know, these people are sacrificing, giving this money now. You're going to pay it back. And the way you're going to pay it back is by you starting another church and teach them the same system that we've taught you, and it works. And it's working all over the world. That's great. I just wanted to give you that kind of a report on our church planting program. Now, we're restarting a church in Youngstown, Ohio now. I went there in 1959 and started the Youngstown Baptist Church. But the pastor and I were talking about it this morning. The church has become liberal, and it's just that they painted the walls in the church black, and they don't have any lights except on the platform, and they have this loud rock. They offer you earplugs when you go in. We have a saying in Korea, kula 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 pa. That sounds crazy to me, don't you? And none of the old hymns are sung and all that. But anyhow, we restarted the Youngstown Baptist Church. Now, God has put a building on our mind. They want $150,000 for it. But we're going to ask them to sell it to us for $50,000 because it needs a lot of work. And either that or give it to us. And sometimes they will do that. It's a business proposition, and we can give them a tax write-off. It'll help them on their income tax. So I don't know how it's going to work, but pray for that. Youngstown Baptist Church. I just got from preaching over there just recently, and we had about 30 people, adults, about 30 adults in the church. So it's getting started, and we're looking forward to building another good gospel preaching church in Youngstown, Ohio. That's what we're kind of doing at home. We're helping several churches in Ohio and across the country to get started and get restarted, some of them to be restarted. And so I just wanted to kind of give you a general report on that. Now, another report I want to give you, all right? This is another one of our ministries. Another one of our ministries is that some years ago, I said we need a Bible college on the internet, a free Bible college, not something that these poor people in these foreign countries would have to not be able to have because they have to send money. I said, let's make it free. And so what happened was I found the man that and the church that wanted to do it in Salt Lake City, Utah. And so we bought the man that was a computer genius in all this said, Brother Clayton, it'll probably cost us probably $25,000 for the computer. I said, we'll get it. I'll get the money somehow. We'll get it. And he said, now to write the program, it's going to take a composer, not a writer. And he said, that may be another $25,000. I said, let's do it. I said, we'll get it somehow. God's going to give us the money. And so he called me up later and said, Brother Clayton, I found the computer for $2,500. So I said, the check's on its way. Get it. And he said, I found a preacher down in Texas that can do all this composing. See, what the computer has to do is to take in the person's name wherever they are in the world, all over the world, on the internet, take in their name, send them the lessons, take in the tests, grade them and keep a record of it, and then when they graduate, send them a diploma. All that has to be done on the internet, because you couldn't do that through the mail. A lot of places it would make the person a target for the terrorists. But on the internet, you can do it, you know, slip it in there. And so we started the school, and boy, God really blessed us. We have now, right now, I can report to you, my last report was we have 11,500 students in our Bible college. And it's a 3-year Bible college, free to anybody who wants to take it, so we're doing it all over. And some of those places that we call one person actually is a whole school, because they take the material and they print it up and give it. One guy in India sent me a picture. He had 200 students in his Bible college that were using all that material. And so God is really blessing that. I don't know, but what that's one of the things that I'm most proud of in all the ministry God's given me for 65 years. Is that Bible college. It's free. Now we started a Bible college in America, a real one. Dormitories, everything else, and God has supplied all that, and that's free. So anybody can go to Bible college free anywhere in the world, including America now. And so God has really blessed that. Now, you've helped me in all of this financially and prayerfully, by remembering us in your prayers. Oh, by the way, I have a few prayer cards, and if any one of you want one, I'll be happy to give you. I don't just pass them out wholesale. If you really want one, I have one. I'd be happy to give it to you. But keep us in your prayers. Would you do that? Pray for us. Don't just say, "Dear God, bless the Claytons," because there are some Claytons that shouldn't be blessed. you know, we've got some of that family thing. You know what I mean? Now, you too, too, but you won't admit it. I'll admit it. But pray for us, Larry and Lois Clayton, that God would bless us and use us. All we want to do now for the rest of our lives, whatever's left, I hope it's a lot of time, but you never know, do you? I'm 82 years old. I mean, I might plunk over dead tomorrow. Who knows? I may be, Lois and I may be in the motel. Well, I tried to clean his room, but he won't answer the door. And the flies are gathering around the door. So we better knock the door down and see what's going on in there. But you never know, do you? You just do what you can do while you can do it, right? And if the curtain falls on the last act, you can just walk off the stage with a lot of satisfaction in your heart. When you do the best you can, when you perform the best you can for the Lord. And so we hope that you'll keep us in your prayers, that God will bless us. There's other things that I won't get into today because it takes too much time and too much thought to be able to remember all this. But if you'd write down, pray for our Bible college on the internet. Oh, and by the way, we've had this Bible college on the internet in little offices, which one of them is a front porch that we've redid. And the president, he got his office in that front porch. But we found 4 buildings up in the mountains in Utah that the government had built. And so they're government approved already. And they wanted to get rid of them, and so we bought them at a ridiculously low price. And we moved them down, and took us, $3,000 to move them. Was it $3,000? $3,000 to move them down to Salt Lake. It's going to cost us $3,000 to set them up now. That's with foundations and getting everything set up. And then it's going to cost us probably in the neighborhood of $10,000 to fix them up inside and outside for our purposes. So please pray for that, if you would, please. I need to raise the money for that. Already got some of it already raised, and I need to get that money for that, and pray that we could get that going, because that's going to give us classrooms and office space. And we already now got us another computer expert. She's a genius in computers, and she's going to be taking the students now that comes in above the 11,500. She's going to take them, and that's going to be 11,500 before. You know, we may end up with the biggest Bible college in the world on the internet. I just wish you'd pray for that. And God will continue to bless us. You know, we've been able to do this without... Now, the devil knows I'm saying this, but without a lot of trouble. And God's put a team together that really wants to do something for God in the world. Can you imagine young people in Pakistan, India, Russia, in China, and the Philippines, and Africa? A lot of students in Nigeria, Africa, with this Bible college program. Can you imagine all those thousands of people studying for the ministry? Wow, that's a thrill to my heart. To think that I've been able to have a part in this. You've also had a part in it. And so I want to thank you so very, very much. And say, hey, that's like laying treasures up in the heaven, amen? Jesus said to do that. You know what that is? Invest your time, your talent, and your money into permanent, eternal rewards like a banking account in heaven. You know, you make a deposit in heaven by what you're doing for the Lord and what you're sacrificing for the Lord. And when Jesus comes and takes us up there, he's going to give you a bank book. You're going to be able to draw from that bank account in heaven. And you know what? You'll never lose it. How would you ladies like for somebody to give you a Walmart card that's unlimited? You don't want to talk about Walmart? You know that place, ladies? Walmart? Somebody said, when I die, I want them to bury me out in the parking lot of Walmart. Said, bury you out in the parking lot? Yes, said, bury me out there. Said, how come? Said, because I know my wife will visit my grave every day. Amen. Oh, men, they like Walmart too. And so, if you had a permanent credit card at Walmart, and you could go buy anything you want. Well, I'll tell you what, there sure would be a lot of guns and dresses and bracelets and lipsticks and lawnmowers and everything else sold, right? But that's what it's going to be like. And so when you invest in the Lord's work, you're laying up treasures. You're laying up a bank account in heaven. Wow, think about that. That's another sermon, but in Matthew chapter 28, I want to look at verse 18, and I'm going to read verse 18, 19, and 20. And then I have some comments on that, and then after I'm through here, making my comments, the pastor is going to take us all out and buy our breakfast. Isn't that nice? All right, Pastor. God bless you. He would be. He's that kind of a guy. He would do it. All right. We ought to buy him breakfast, amen? Him and his wife. Tell your wife that. All right? She's not looking at you. She don't believe it, amen? All right, well, here Matthew 28, and the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, he's talking to his church. You know, he established his church in Mark chapter 3 when he called them out and sent them out. That's what the church is, the called out and sent out. Church wasn't started on Pentecost. It was already there and empowered on Pentecost. But Jesus spake unto them. Now, the situation is this. Jesus has died, and he'd been entombed, and he came out alive. And the Romans said, "Where is he?" Said, "Well, he's gone." And so they paid the soldiers money to go out and tell a lie. You know, the devil's a liar. You know that? He lied about Jesus, and he'll lie about you and me, right? Because he's a liar. Don't be surprised if people lie about you or lie about the church or lie about the Lord. Don't be surprised. That's the devil's way of doing it. He's always been a liar. He started out lying to Eve in the garden. He's always been a liar. So don't be surprised if lies come along in your life, because the devil is a liar. And a lot of people do what the devil tells them to do. All right, well, anyhow, they went out and lied. And they took counsel in verse 12 and verse 13 and so on and so forth. But now, after this resurrection, Jesus gathers to himself his disciples. And the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Can you imagine what that is? All power in heaven? Lois and I saw the sun one time in a great big giant telescope. Just the material to make the lenses cost a man $30,000 in those days. It would be more like $300,000 today. Just the lenses of that telescope. He was a genius and he built it. Lois and I got to look at it and we saw the sun. Now you go outside today and you, if we're lucky, we'll see the sun, right? I forget this is Painesville and northern Ohio. And you don't get the sun all that much. You need to take vitamin D, you know. But if you go out and look at that sun, you know what that thing is? It's a constant hydrogen bomb explosion. Constant. And when we looked at it, you could see those explosions and those fire trails going out of the sun. Whoop! Like that. And I'm telling you, that's impressive. It lights our whole galaxy and gives us all the energy and all the heat that we have on Earth. That sun, 93 miles away. 93 million miles away. Yeah, let me get it right. Lois is shaking her head. But we don't know how far it is, but that's what they've guessed. And you know, that sun is so big, you can take a million Earths, million or billion, million Earths, and put it, I have to have help now. I've got to the place now where I depend upon her to help me preach. Amen? That'd be better than me depending on Jack back there. Amen? Jack looks just exactly like a preacher friend of mine. But only one of you now, Jack, because that old preacher died. Yeah, he died, went to heaven. You know him? Did you know him? Yeah, but well, I'm telling you, he looked just like Jack and talked and acted like him. Lois and I says, "There's Don Kreider sitting there." I mean, Don was a good buddy of mine, and had bad health, and his wife lost him here a couple months ago. Something like that. And so, anyhow, get back to the subject. That's the sun. Now there's a lot of power in that sun, don't you think? All of that power belongs to Jesus. Amen? The one who saved you and forgave you and washed your sins away. He has all that power. Now there's stars of heaven, full of stars. And one of them, which is not even the biggest one, is Betelgeuse, and you can put 1 billion suns in Betelgeuse. Now, it has its own power and it has its own light. It doesn't reflect the sun. Now, can you imagine all that power? Jesus says to his disciples, don't worry about anything. All that power is mine. I got the power. Amen. We've seen that power. You know, they're talking a lot about the North Korea now and atomic bombs. Listen, I preached within 1/4 mile of the North Korean border in the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, in a little church, and we had 200 people saved that night I preached there. Right under their nose, we go and preach the gospel. Had to have blackout curtains on the windows to keep the North Koreans from shooting at us. And man, we had a great meeting. But anyhow, that power is what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus has got more power than North Korea's got, or than America's got. Well, I could stay there forever. Let me just tell you this one little thing. I've got time to do it, I think. Out in Washington, there is a whole complex, like, I don't know, maybe it's 1 million acres, I don't know, but it's a great big complex near Pasco, Washington. What's the name of that, Lois? Can you remember? Hanford. It's the Hanford Nuclear Test Grounds. They've got power. They've got stuff out there buried that America has built that the average person never even thought that we had. They've got canisters out there of stuff. I mean, big, big canisters, some as big as this auditorium, full of gas. One bottle of that, 1 gallon of that would kill all Painesville if it was turned loose. And they've got gallons and gallons of that stuff. Well, they're building a big new building out there, giant, about the size of 50 football fields. They're building a giant building where they're going to take this stuff and destroy it. Let me tell you how powerful that stuff is. When they dig that up, and they take it in to have it destroyed, all the men that do that have to be specially clad. And when they dig it up and take it in, they take the backhoes, the bulldozers, and the trucks that haul it. They take it, all of that right back, brand new stuff, right back to that hole, dump it in and cover it up. The stuff they hauled it in. That's how much power there is in that. And the Lord owns all that power. Jesus owns all that power. And North Korea and Russia, nobody else is going to destroy us, unless the Lord lets them do it. Isn't that good news? You feel like sticking out your tongue and twisting your ears and go, "Oh, ha, 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 oh devil. You can't touch me, amen. Because I'm a child of the King, who has all that power." So he's going to tell them what to do. And he first starts this out by saying, never you mind, I've got the power. Now, since that's true, I want you to do this. Look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Jesus says, you go out and do the job, and I'll take care of you. I'll pay the bills. I'll protect you from the enemy. I'll be with you always. If you go and teach. Now it says go here once, but it says teach twice. I can make you a whole sermon on that word teach. God wants us to go, all of us to go. You say, Brother Clayton, where do you want me to go? Where God want me to go? God wants you to go to your family, number one. You need to win your own family to Christ. Your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Lois and I got 21 great-grandkids. We've got 12 grandkids. And with me and my two sons and our son-in-law and our grandsons and our grandsons-in-law, there are 12 of us guys that are preachers out of our family. You know, God has blessed us. We need to win our family to Christ. Don't you fail to talk to your kids and to your grandkids. If anybody's going to talk to them, and it has to be us, we have to talk to our own. And you need to win your own to Christ, your own family. It's the hardest place you'll ever do mission work, because they know more about you. Amen? But win them to Christ. Where does God want us to go? He wants us to go to our neighborhood. God put you in that neighborhood. Where you live, God had a part in putting you there, and you're there as a missionary to that neighborhood. Win your mission, your neighbors to Christ. You can do that. You live there all the time, you can go talk to them. Find out something to talk about. Don't go over there and get mad because he drove over your garbage can lid. Amen? Come on. Go over there and talk to him about his dog. Everybody likes their dog, and you talk about their dog, and man, their eyes will just flash, man. They love them dogs. Over in the Philippines, we eat them. Don't tell anybody that, though, because dog lovers, they get all upset about that. Lois has never eaten dog, but I have on a couple of occasions in order to get in and preach the gospel. You know what I mean? You have to eat with them, like it or not. And that's not nearly as bad as some of the other stuff we eat. And I'm not going to tell you about that. But go out and talk to your neighbor. Talk to him about the things he's interested in. Maybe it's gladiolas in his front yard. Or maybe he's digging a hole to put him some goldfish in and have a fish pond. Hey, win your neighbor to Christ, amen? They're there. They need to be won to the Lord. Go. Go to your family. Go to your neighbors. Go in your own city. Talk to your doctor and your lawyer and your grocery keeper and your garbage can man, garbage delivery man. Talk to all those people about the Lord. Get some tracts and hand them out. Go. And then go to your state. Whatever you can do. I talk to police people about the Lord. I always say, hey, you know, our army, thank you very much for your service. You know, we've got all this freedom and peace and prosperity and we've got this security all because of you. I'm going to give you an invitation to my church. You know, you can talk to them. They'll talk to you. And talk to the world through your missionary giving and through your prayers. You're working through me to reach an area of the world that otherwise would never have the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please pray for us and help us. And through that, you'll be going. Going into all the world. And you can go back there and get your missionary letters and write down their names and write down their needs. Do that and pray for them. Pray for the missionaries. Ask God to help. Missionary will say, I want you to pray for Susie Q because I've been talking to her about the Lord and she's about to come to church. Pray for that girl. And I know that you do a lot of praying here. And every Sunday morning, I know that you get prayer requests and you're praying for people. And that's involving yourself in their lives when you pray for them like that. And by the way, pray for your pastor and his wife every day. You know, the devil is attacking pastors today. And the churches are closing all over the country. You've got your church here. Pray for every day. You've been maintaining this ministry for all these years with your attendance and your prayers and your money and your work. And you know, what you've invested here is producing great dividends for you in heaven. So go into all the world and give them the gospel. And it all boils down, and I've got a couple minutes to close. It all boils down to teaching. Boy, how important that is, the teachers. You know, everything revolves on teaching. Teachers influence the entire world. We've got a lot of illustrations on that. Like, for instance, there was a man by the name of Nikita Khrushchev. You ever hear that? He was the premier of Russia, Nikita Khrushchev. Nikita Khrushchev murdered 1 million Ukrainians in the Ukraine. A million. He was responsible for 1 million people dying in Ukraine. And then he became the leader of the Russians and came over to America and threatened us in the United Nations building, and they said, we're going to defeat you, and we're going to destroy you, and we're going to kill you. And happens to be that Nikita Khrushchev dead, and America's still alive. He didn't do it, did he? But he was a communist, Bolshevik, communist atheist. You know why? Because when he was a little boy, there was a woman by the name of Lydia Shevchenko came to their town. And in the school, she taught communism. And he subscribed to it. He had memorized more scripture than anybody else in the whole area and got a prize for quoting more scripture than anybody else. But he became a communist because of a teacher, Lydia Shevchenko. Now, you probably never heard her name. Maybe you never will till Judgment Day. But look what she influenced. She influenced that man that influenced the world. And you know, that goes along with so many great people over the years. There was a philosopher by the name of Nietzsche who said God is dead. And he taught humanism in Europe. And it got in the colleges, and the Methodist Church brought teachers from Europe into their seminaries. And what Nietzsche taught, which is don't believe in God, you know, don't believe in the things of the Bible, you know, that was prominent in the Methodist churches. Before that, there was a Methodist church on every corner and every crossroads in America. Now they're all gone because of that teaching of Nietzsche and other philosophies of liberal theology. You know, it's so important that we stand by this book and teach this book and live this book. I congratulate your pastor and the work you're doing here for the Lord by teaching the old-time gospel. I hope that you'll remember us in your prayers. We've got a lot of things we're going to do here in the very near future. And some years ago, I don't know, a couple years ago, I told Lois, I said, you know, I'm 80-some years old now. I'm going to, I think I'll draw back on some of my activities. But instead, I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life. And I just looking at our schedule the other day, and all the things we'd like to do, I'd like to be able to enjoy some of this fall. Did you know today's the first day of autumn, fall? I'd like to enjoy some of that this year. And I told her this morning, I said, we're going to try to enjoy some of that. But I don't know if we're going to have time. So pray for us that God will bless us and use us for His honor and glory. God bless you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly